Energy is evolving. New technology and the shift towards low carbon are changing the way businesses can function. To help make sense of this changing energy landscape, some of those at the heart of the conversation speak to the Future of Business Energy podcast from Npower Business Solutions Energy HQ. I'm Juliana Needham. In this series, you'll hear the latest views, ideas, and insights from leading experts and influencers. From Industry 4.0 and the adoption of big data, to blockchain, artificial intelligence, and the Internet of Things, technology is driving the future of the UK energy market. But with pervasive computing opening a new world of opportunity, will technology become an energy manager's steadfast sidekick, or will it be the death of the role as we know it? In this podcast, we discuss how technology has the potential to revolutionise energy management. Using best practice examples, insights and anecdotes from some of the industry's most innovative businesses, we highlight how technology can help you optimise your business energy use today. But we also consider what old school practices will never go out of date. I spoke to Jeff Curran, who's the co-founder of Energy Live News, Wayne Mitchell, who is the director of Energy HQ for Npower Business Solutions, and David Penfold, who is the managing director for the energy consultancy Teal Hippo and a former senior energy manager for Sainsbury's. So thank you all for being here. Can you begin by explaining what digital tools such as AI or blockchain are being used by energy managers?
Oh, that's a good question. Are any of them using it? David, you've just been one.
Coming out of that Wells recently, I don't know of any proper AI or blockchain being used by any of the large energy end users. I did look at it and there was nothing out there which is really proper AI. You still have to teach the systems what it is you're looking for.
I think there's a lot of talk around AI and blockchain and machine learning. We hear a lot of it. We get lots of news press releases. Frankly, what's it? Emperor's new clothes, old clothes,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, agree with that, totally. Yeah, so, all talk.
I think for me, it depends on what your definition of AI is. So if you look at basic AI, you know, a BMS system, is that artificial intelligence? Does it learn? Probably not. Does it take automated action? Yes, it does.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I don't really see any use of AI in a big way by any of our customers, really.
And that is a very good point, actually, splitting out what actually is AI versus what is programmed building management systems, which someone has to program.
So are there any tools that you're seeing customers and consumers using?
Let's split it. So energy management, if we look at the energy buying side, there are people talking about using AI around a trading perspective.
Yeah.
And I think there's money in that because energy traders at the high end in the city, there's money and AI definitely will help them and that will filter down. AI from an energy management point of view, there are systems that are beginning to come along. They're probably in very embryonic stage and there's a lot of thought process going into it. So there's university collaborations along with private companies. You're definitely beginning to see trials and tests of that. You can definitely get data into these systems. It's whether the learning process is working appropriately for the end user in that sense. So the learning is beginning to happen. Will they be ready for rollout? Probably, I would say, next year at the earliest.
And David, you were nodding.
Yeah, I think one of the things we're going to have to watch out as energy managers is just not jumping on the AI bandwagon because it's AI. You need to work out whether you do actually need AI or do you just need a building management system that manages your building for you? And do you know the answers already? And do you need AI to work out the answers for you or not? That's the thing you have to really think about.
What problems do emerging digital tools solve, or what have they got the potential to solve, and what are there likely shortfalls?
For me, the biggest thing with some of these emerging technologies at the moment is, are they commercially viable? So you can go to any one of Jeff's shows or any one of the industry events and you'll see new technologies being presented, you'll see new methods, new software, but is it commercially viable? And that's the thing. I think that our bigger customers, they can't afford to have unproven technology deployed onto their estate, disrupting their processes. So that's kind of the challenge that we've got to get over.
That's a very, very good point. Everything we do in the energy management world has to be commercially viable. We're not necessarily here to do the green bandwagon. It's got to pay for itself.
So how should energy managers be looking to trial and introduce new energy-related technologies and tools? Should they be looking to do it as soon as possible?
Most energy managers, they will wait until there are case studies, reference sites, etc. So DSR, prime example, now mainstream. When that first started, you would have had a handful of companies that did it. And then once those case studies came out and the impacts were seen, then it gets rolled out. And in fact, David, you've got the most experience on this.
Yeah, I think the first thing you've got to do is work out where your energy use actually is by putting in your sub-metering and all that technology before you run down the road of nice, shiny, new technology, which you probably don't actually need.
As your prime example would be the start of LED lighting. You know, the first LEDs that came out, yeah, they would save. However, they didn't have necessarily a lifespan that you have now.
Good point.
They weren't particularly great quality.
Cost
and,
a lot.
And they cost a lot. So you would have wanted to wait. Now, fantastic.
I was going to say, there's also an opportunity cost of going on fishing expeditions as well.
Yes.
So, you know, you can go and look at loads of devices and loads of technologies, loads of software, and how much time you're going to spend on it, when in fact you could be spending that time on the basics, as David said, eliminating waste, measuring what you're using, getting your processes right, looking at things that are more proven technologies like DSR. You know, you could spend hours, days, weeks and months on those kind of technologies.
You do get yourself to a place where you can't see the wood for the trees.
But I guess the problem with it is that for a new business that makes this technology, how do they get large customers using it in the first place?
They've got to give it away.
They've got to give it away.
So they need to go to a Sainsbury's or a Tesco's or a Rolls-Royce and go, we will let you have this for nothing. Yeah. However, we want the case study out of it.
And you build the cost into the potential rollout. So if it's successful, you build the cost of the initial trial into the potential rollout. But I just want to pick up on something. One of the first things you should be doing is understanding what energy you're using before you start running down the road to putting new technologies in. You've got to work out where you need that technology rather than just going hell for leather, putting stuff in.
I agree. It's what I've used this phrase over many years. It's what I call the magpie behaviour, that there's people out there who like to look at the shiniest new trinket and install that, but that's not the right thing to do. You know, going back to the basics of energy management, look at where you're using your energy and how, and understand what devices actually can help you solve that problem. Otherwise, you can end up with these fancy trinkets around your building that don't actually achieve very much. Yeah. And you end up then costing to uninstall them.
A good example of that is if you've just got a normal retail shop who's either open or closed, you don't need an all-sing and all-dancing, really complicated building management system. You just need a time clock which says, I'm open and I'm closed. And it's having that thought process. Do I need the complexity, or am I better off simplifying it, going down that road?
And which sectors are most open to trialling new technology in the energy management space?
Retailers were always at the forefront, because I'm from retail, but we always trialled all kinds. I'm the only person, I think, in the world that's put a kinetic road plate into a building, something you drive
how
over.
How successful was that?
I won't answer that.
For me, the answer is where the device or the service or the system is replicable. So that's why it's suitable for retailer, because you can roll it out 600 times. Yeah. So if you've got that kind of scalability, then great. If you've got big, heavy industrial systems, not appropriate, because you've got to take big, heavy energy management actions, which are generally, you know, big capital investments, whereas your retailers, you can trial smaller devices across your 600 stores.
And it's also where you've got the flexibility with your power use as well. There's a lot of places you won't have the flexibility to do anything different anyway. Like hospitals, you won't have a...
No, well, hospitals have also, they've got to save lives.
Yeah.
Retailers are making money. So interestingly, the competitive landscape they're in, they actually want to save costs. So they're always on the lookout. You're right though, Wayne, that someone with a heavy energy usage and it's very much around loads and processes, etc., very difficult to suddenly take something out.
Yeah.
What would you say the most consistently beneficial technology is to support more effective energy management?
We're going to sound like a stuck record here. It's going to be getting your data, sub-metering, even looking at your main half-hourly meter, and is your building on or off when it should be on or off? It's simple as that. But you've got to get the sub-metering data in and interrogate it and work out what it actually means and what it's telling you.
Once you've done that, though, there've got to be technologies that are good, surefire technologies. Which ones would you say?
From a retail point of view, it's got to be, if you're food retail, it's got to be refrigeration.
Right.
So that's a large chunk of it. But then the easy low-hanging fruit after that is lighting.
I would definitely say lighting is an easy give. If you're in a manufacturing process, then drives and motors, you can do a lot with variable speed drives. But again, though, your difficulty is it's not like lighting where you go, right, shut down the store for a day, we change over the lights, thank you very much. You've probably got a much, you know, you're trying to fit in with all the schedules. But I'd say manufacturing, looking at probably variable speed drives, retailers, offices, warehouses, lighting's a critical one.
Wayne?
For me, I think you've got to look at general waste first. There's a lot of wasted energy wherever you look. So that would be the first thing that I would do. The second thing I would follow up with is I totally agree with David that you need to have submeters and sensors that can give you, you know, all of your metered data, but actually sensors can give you outdoor and inside temperature, amongst other things. But you then need some software or a software tool that can help you analyse that data, because there's no point having all that data and then doing nothing with it.
Potentially where AI, proper AI, will come in.
Yes.
And help sort that data out. Because if I know what the data's telling me, I can work it out for myself. But I don't know what the data's telling me, so I need AI to do that.
Is there a danger that these new technologies can distract from the core functions of effective energy management?
If you get distracted by them, then they can. So like I said, at the, you know, the events that we go to and the people that we interact with, that, you know, there are always new devices out there and new methods. But yeah,
thankfully, that's why I have events.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why Jeff's wearing a nice suit. But if you get distracted by them, but if you stick to the basics of energy management, waste, data, that's what's going to get you.
Be careful you don't turn into a magpie because you want the latest shiny thing.
But isn't the risk, if you don't get distracted, you're going to be left behind?
I think it's about managed or focused activity around the areas you've identified as being areas of waste or issue, rather than a more generic approach to let's look at all of these devices that do all sorts of things. Let's hone it in on the things that are really important to me as a business. And that will differ from business to business.
I used to run a box process where I'd put all the different technologies in boxes. So 1 month I'd open up the refrigeration box, shake it around, what new technologies out there. Move on. Lighting box, open the lighting box. What new technologies out there on lighting? Shake it around, close it down again. Heating box, open the heating box. What technologies are there? Shake it around. You've got to keep going around. It's like the fourth road bridge. You've got to keep going around looking at all the technology. You can't look at all at once.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just...
But that is just looking at them and getting that sense of what they can do, rather than I'm going to embark upon big projects to install new stuff. It's keeping your eye on the market.
Don't get me wrong. If we found half a dozen technologies which are worth rolling out, we would throw them all at one building at one time.
Right.
Because it's worth doing. If it's commercially worth doing, you would do it.
And Jeff, as someone who is looking at energy news and trends all the time, what stands out to you as the main game changer in energy management?
Can I deflect this one off to anybody? Game changer at the moment, there is a lot of disruption happening in the marketplace.
The biggest thing that can make a difference to businesses right now, and I think I'm thinking of bigger businesses, are those that can interact with the market and interact with the grid through things like demand side response. If you've got backup generation on site, or you've got flexibility in what you use and when you use it, and you can turn up, turn down accordingly, and you can interact with National Grid, I think there is decent money to be made from doing that activity.
David.
So I think this might have been covered in a previous podcast, but the targeted charging review that's coming through, which is potentially taking away triads, which is your peak energy cost, that's going to be a game changer for quite a few businesses, because they've invested a lot of money in avoiding that peak cost. You can't stick your head in the sand with electric vehicles. That is going to have a huge impact on how people operate their business, especially retailers. You've got all the real estate sitting there for petrol stations. What is going to happen to that real estate of petrol stations? How is that going to evolve over time?
Or will they become electric car charging stations?
They'll have to. Some, if we still want the footfall to come into the buildings.
Yeah, the difficulty is, though, that you can get your petrol done in 3 minutes.
Absolutely.
How long does it take to charge a car?
Just one thing to finish on is, and picking up on what William's saying about DSR stuff, you've also got the district network operators changing to system operators who will be procuring their own DSR services. So me as a multi-building operator, how do I know which DSR service to work with? Is it National Grid? Is it the DSO? What? And there's going to have to be some kind of very clever brain in the building, black box, to know what price signal to work to.
And how is that going to be managed?
Good question.
Well, that's where maybe your blockchain and your AI stuff starts really, you know, opening up.
But that needs to come quickly.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who's doing it yet.
No.
Will digital tools and emerging technologies eventually replace the role of the energy manager, or do they merely enhance the capabilities in the role? It sounds like we're quite a long way off any replacement yet.
So if you're going to be half full, the tools will enable the energy manager to go and do something much more interesting and much more beneficial for the company. If you're going to be half empty, get rid of all the energy managers. And frankly, you know, you'll have some experts out there that will start. So, in fact, David, don't you want to be one of those experts? You can build your company on...
I'm trying to be one of those experts.
on outsource.
Yeah, outsource. So almost like does... you know, if you were to cast forward, will energy managers exist? Potentially, they might be facilities managers where the energy bit is actually farmed out and they just become the coordinator.
You're still going to have someone there who builds the business cases around what the AI system throws up.
Yes, but they're doing is facilitating. They're not actually being an energy manager, or are they being the energy manager? Because what they're doing is the strategy stuff.
Absolutely right. It's a creative thinking that you can't replace at the moment with AI. So for me, the energy manager is going to be there. It's just the role is going to change. Some of the nuts and bolts stuff that an energy manager does today and number crunching won't need to do that in the future. But you're right, you're still going to need to do the creative thinking, manage the projects of installation, because AI can't install a new device into your store or your building.
And we've covered some of this already. When you consider the impact of emerging technology, what will the role of the energy manager look like in 10 years' time?
I think energy managers are going to become more about strategy, innovation, possibly procurement, because working with energy procurement closer, there's things you can work out between you to reduce your energy cost down. And also building business cases, because AI and all this new stuff still needs someone there to build the business cases to get the business to sign off to roll it out.
Isn't that one of the most critical things, though, the business case? Because actually, doing the nuts and bolts, that bit, they should be able to do, or they can get people or partners to do that. It's actually understanding what's going to work properly for their business. Yeah. That's the bit they've got to get right.
And the other bit is about finding the real experts out there that can help you make those decisions. The likes of Npower, I used to work with a lot. I used to ask them all the time, what's happening in the market? Where's the prices going on energy? And any ideas what I can do about it?
And for us, you know, when we had those conversations, David, you know, we look at the cost stack over the last however many years, 10 years, it went from being mostly about wholesale costs, it's now gone predominantly to third-party costs. Yes. Yeah. So when I think about that question and what's the energy manager going to be doing into the future, actually negotiating that wholesale cost, especially if you can generate some of your own energy, is going to become a much smaller part of what the energy manager does. Yes. What you're going to be doing is spending more time on, frankly, the much more difficult bit, which is all the third-party costs. Yeah. The network charges, carbon taxation, whatever that might look like in the future. Really getting underneath the skin of it, under the bonnet of those really
So actually policy and legislation issues. Is never going to go away. One of the things...
Well, it's going to get harder.
It's going to get worse, absolutely.
So I would be looking at my power provider, whoever that may be, to tell me what is happening policy-wise. Even if they don't know 100% that this could happen in 5 years' time, this is what you might be able to do about it.
Well, the targeted charging reviews are happening now. I mean, Wayne, you've probably got some policy wonks that have been looking at that.
We tend not to call them policy wonks in our building, Jeff, but we have some highly professional colleagues who work on policy who can help us with that.
I think policy wonks is a great name.
But yes, we do, because that's the bread and butter of our business. We have to know that stuff. Otherwise, it costs us literally millions of pounds if we make mistakes. So yes, we have got people who understand that. And we regularly are talking to customers about exactly what is that legislation going to mean to you and what's it going to mean to you.
And one of the things I always used to say back was don't wait to talk to us about it until you understand it 100%. Even if it's just a glimmering or something's happening, come and tell us about it.
Well, it's that guidance or pointer, isn't it? Yeah. Is actually going, you might want to think about this.
Yes. Yeah. Or this is what might be coming down. This is what the impact it might be. But we're still working on it to work out 100% what it actually means. But it's to have the conversation with big energy users.
David, Jeff and Wayne, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Jeff Curran, Wayne Mitchell and David Penfold speaking to me, Juliana Needham, for the Future of Business Energy podcast from Npower Business Solutions, Energy HQ. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts, Google Play or Audioboom. Join in the conversation on social media using the hashtag FutureBusinessEnergy.